Solar storms can have dramatic effects on the Earth, things like auroras in the sky, where auroras do not normally appear. Volatility on the sun can also affect some animals, and recent research gives solar storms the blame for gray whales stranding themselves, or at least part of the blame. The sun's extra output may throw off the whales' delicate navigation systems. Jesse Granger is the graduate student at Duke University who led the research team on this new research, and Jesse joins us this morning from Duke University. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just well. Thank you. You're not actually at Duke University this morning. I think you're calling from home just like everybody else.
Oh, alas, I actually am on campus today, but this will be my last day here for a bit of time.
I bet, yes. So you're studying issues that affect the migration of gray whales, but isn't it true that science is still kind of in the dark about how they actually navigate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, these animals perform one of the most extraordinary migrations of any animal, especially these gray whales traveling all the way from Mexico up to Alaska and back. And we really don't know how they do it. A lot of animals use magnetic fields to perform long-distance migrations, kind of like we would use a GPS. But the way that we normally test that is by putting an animal inside of a man-made magnetic field and rotating that around and watching the animal follow or not follow that magnetic field. Unfortunately, that's a little bit hard to do with a whale.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah, so we've had to get a bit creative with how we try to understand whale navigation.
So is the assumption that all whales navigate in generally the same way?
I think that it's a bit too early to try and guess that. I think many migratory whales probably use similar cues. The unfortunate thing about the ocean is their number of cues they have available to them is kind of limited. On land, you can kind of say, oh, well, there's a mountain range I recognize and things like that. But in the ocean, especially in the open ocean, everything is so similar. You're really kind of limited to perhaps maybe using the sun or the stars if you can get up far enough to see them, and then maybe magnetic fields. So
why did you focus in on gray whales for your study?
So we were hoping to use stranding data to learn more about animals' navigation. The assumption being, okay, if an animal has stranded alive and healthy with no other clear reasons of why they stranded, perhaps they made a navigational error. And the gray whale presented an ideal study system because they have one of the longest migrations of any whale. They have one of the longest histories in the stranding database. So Oregon and California and Washington, you guys have been recording these gray whale strandings for decades. In addition, these gray whales are nearshore migrators, which means that a very small error in navigation could very quickly lead them to strand, whereas a humpback whale out in the open ocean, if they make a small error, they have quite a bit of time to recalibrate for that, whereas a gray whale could make a small error and all of a sudden find itself in, for example, a pinch point where it can't turn around easily or it's in a riptide and gets sucked to shore.
So, and I imagine also since they migrate so close to shore, they're probably easier for humans to keep tabs on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I remember the days when I was working in public radio and the bulk of our programming was distributed via satellite. Much of it comes over the internet now, but we would get periodic warnings that sunspot activity was predicted and it might cause our satellite signals to degrade and maybe some programs to not be heard at all. So what's the science behind sunspots and how they interfere with radio signals on the Earth?
Oh, yeah. So sunspots are actually just indicative that a solar storm is likely occurring. A solar storm can be anything from a solar flare to a coronal mass ejection. These are going to spew huge amounts of radiation towards the Earth across the entirety of the electromagnetic spectrum. So those are going to be interfering with satellites, in addition, messing with the Earth's magnetic field itself, pushing it around, and spewing large amounts of solar radio noise at the Earth as well, which is probably what was interfering with your radio broadcasts.
And so what led you to want to investigate sunspot activity as a factor in gray whale beachings? Was it just a guess on your part, just a hypothesis, I should say?
As crazy as the research sounds, it's actually not completely out of nowhere. So a research group in the North Sea looking at sperm whale strandings had done something similar to this in the past. So they looked at sperm whale strandings and showed that sperm whales were also stranding at a much higher rate when the sun was more active. So we were just building off of their research, trying to show that perhaps this was also true in another whale species. But what we actually did that was a little bit deeper into it was to ask, okay, well, what part of solar activity may be disrupting these whales' navigational abilities? And so we were actually just building off of previous research, trying to understand this relationship a little bit better.
So the Navy, for example, has been sued by environmental groups who accuse it of interfering with whales when it uses active sonar. Is that the same concept that governs your findings? It's just a different source of interference?
No, not really. So the naval sonar is actually causing these little bubbles and nitrogen bubbles in the whales, which is causing them to force to surface. It's making them ill, essentially. Whereas what we're suggesting is that the whales are just getting perhaps confused. They think that they're migrating along, and this solar activity is actually preventing them from seeing their GPS, for example. So they're migrating along, they've got their GPS going, and all of a sudden it turns off, and whoops, they took an exit that they weren't supposed to, and now they're close to shore and they end up stranding. So our hypothesis is actually that these whales are perfectly healthy. They're just a little bit lost, whereas the sonar stuff that's happening with the military is actually really hurting these whales.
Our guest this morning is Jessie Granger. She's a PhD student at Duke University and the lead researcher on a new study that says that's titled "Gray Whales Strand More Often on Days with Increased Levels of Atmospheric Radio Frequency Noise." So, Jessie, are there practical implications for this? I mean, can we predict sunspots and solar flares and somehow perhaps intervene to help whales?
Yeah, this is a really great thing about this research. So obviously we don't know everything about the sun. We can't perfectly predict what it's going to be doing, but we certainly can predict how active the sun is going to be a lot better than we can predict when a whale is about to strand. So it's really nice about this research is the sun becomes active and less active on an about 11-year cycle. So we can at the very least say, okay, the sun is more active these couple of years. Maybe we should have our stranding networks be a little bit more active, be on the lookout for some of these live strandings. Maybe we can reach those whales a little bit faster and hopefully refloat them.
So obviously there's nothing we can do about sunspots, but if that's one cause that, you know, can be determined of the whale stranding themselves, it seems to me to argue for minimizing all the other factors in order to protect the species. You alluded to this earlier, but what are some of the other causes of these whales beaching?
Oh, yeah. There are many causes of whale strandings, and I think it's really important to note that our research, we still don't know if solar activity is a cause of whale strandings. All we've done is show that it could possibly be a cause, but there are many other things which definitely do still cause strandings. A lot of strandings, and these aren't the ones that we looked at, are primarily caused because the whales were sick. With the changing climate, a lot of their food sources aren't where they used to be. They're becoming very emaciated. They're getting really hungry. They're not as strong as they used to be. In addition, there's a lot of human activity that's directly hurting these whales. They're really too big to get out of the way of boats, so they're getting hit by a lot of boats, strangled in nets. And then, of course, there's this naval sonar that's also causing a lot of these whales to end up stranding.
So the interference that comes from solar flares and sunspots is radio frequency interference. Are there other sources? We talked about Navy sonar being one source of harm to whales. But are there other sources of radio frequency interference that humans are causing?
So that's a great question. Something that you have to be very careful with this sort of research is that if this radio frequency noise is disrupting the whale's ability to sense magnetic fields, it would only be a very specific frequency of radio noise called the Lamor frequency. And so if there was human radio frequency noise, it would have to be a very specific frequency, whereas the noise that's coming off of the sun is more broadband. So it's going to be hitting that frequency somewhere in there. Are there other sources of radio noise that may also be hurting these whales is really still up in the air. That's going to require a lot more research before I'll have an answer for you.
Okay. And so getting back to, let's look at an individual whale that's, migrating up the west coast of the United States. And let's say that there's a solar flare. Can we get a little bit into more detail about how that particular frequency interferes with them? Is there research done on what is actually going on inside a whale when those solar flares occur?
Yeah, so that's what our research was trying to pick apart a little bit more. So I'll preface this with saying that you have to be really cautious when talking about the kind of research that we've done, because we were doing a correlation study, which means that everything we found, you can't really attribute a causation to it. All we can say is, here's a pattern we saw. Perhaps this is a possible explanation, but so much more research needs to be done before we can say any of this with certainty. But I can give you a hypothesis for one of the things we might think be what's going on. So what we think could be happening is these whales are traveling along, and they've got this internal compass that they're using to figure their way around, or an internal GPS that they can tell, okay, I'm on 6th Street and I need to keep heading north for another 3 blocks. And this radio frequency noise coming from the sun is starting to jam that sensor that they have. So it essentially just turns it off. So this whale is on 6th Street, but its GPS just turned off. So it's saying, okay, well, I think I need to just keep going for like a little bit farther. It turns before it was supposed to. All of a sudden, it's in a pinch point where it can't get out of, and or you can think of like if you've ever taken an exit you didn't mean to, and now you're on the highway and there's no way to turn around for another couple of miles. Suddenly, they end up getting stranded on the beach. That's one hypothesis for what we think might be happening and why we see this huge relationship between solar activity and live strandings.
Mm-hmm. And so what more research will your study perhaps lead to for gray whales?
Yeah, so right now one of the things we're really interested in doing is looking to see whether or not this same relationship holds true for other whale species on other continents as well. That'll help us make sure that this isn't just something odd happening with the statistics as we're running through these studies. In addition, we'd like to start looking at whale telemetry as well, so actually tracking whales as they're making their journey through the ocean and see if we can better understand how they're making that journey from looking at those tracks themselves.
We're talking with Jessie Granger. She's the lead author of a new study called Gray Whales Strand More Often on Days with Increased Levels of Atmospheric Radio Frequency Noise, and she's a PhD student at Duke University. You can join our conversation here on the Jefferson Exchange. We actually are having, I don't know, it could be sunspots, some problems with our audience phones this morning, but you can email us at jx@jeffnet.org if you have a question for Jessie. So when you study these whales, what was all of your research simply done in the lab, crunching numbers on a computer, or were you actually out in the ocean?
Yeah, alas, I was just in the lab on a computer. not quite so fun as being out in the boat. Maybe someday I'll get out there.
And are there, oceanic observations, people who are actually out in the water, say, watching gray whales and whatnot, that might help future research?
Oh, absolutely. All of our data and all of the research we do is made possible by the great work that's being done by the Stranding Network and the marine biologists who are out there working with the whales themselves. Our study wouldn't have been possible without their work.
So tell us more about the Stranding Network.
Oh, so the Stranding Network is NOAA's, compiles all of this data across the U.S. There are networks in each state that get calls from citizens. So this is a citizen-reported database. So citizens find stranded dolphins and stranded whales and call into the stranding network, and they get out there, and the whale is already dead. They try and learn more about what happened to that whale and perhaps why it died, why it ended up on shore. If it's alive, they do the best they can to try and refloat it and get it back out there as soon as possible.
And so, Jesse Granger, so you published this study. What are your next steps with gray whales?
So with the gray whale work, we're poking it at a little bit more to see, again, still whether or not there's anything more to be learned from this database. But I think we're going to be moving along to some other species in other continents as well to see whether or not this relationship is still true in other places.
Jesse Granger has been our guest this morning for the first half hour of the Jefferson Exchange, and she's the lead author on a study called Gray Whales Strand More Often on Days with Increased Levels of Atmospheric Radio Frequency Noise, and that was published in the February 24th issue of Current Biology. She's a PhD student at Duke University. Jesse, thanks for going into your office to talk to us this morning, and we wish you a speedy trip home and good health under these circumstances.
Well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.